This morning, we continue looking at our 2019 ministry theme, which is the word serve. This morning, we're going to think about serve as loving God and loving our neighbor. So I invite you to hear from the Gospel of Matthew, the 22nd chapter, beginning at verse 34. Will you hear now God's word? When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him being Jesus. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." This, friends, is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my heart, the words of my mouth, and the meditation of all of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength and our salvation. Amen. So perhaps you can remember back in your school days, or some of you who are currently in school, this might be really easy for you to remember. When you were asked to summarize something, you were asked to give a summary. When you summarize something, you are succinct and you give the most critical and the most important facts. Maybe you've been asked to write a thesis statement. A thesis statement for your paper. The thesis statement of your paper says the most important thing that you are trying to convey in this paper is this, this, and this. A thesis statement, a summary statement, isn't full of lots of big fluffy words. It's invited to be concrete and simple. It's invited to be straightforward, concise, detailed, as explicit as possible about what is the most important, the most critical information that's necessary. In our text this morning, we have the Pharisees who were the religious leaders who were committed to the law of the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament as we know it. They were the religious leaders who were so committed to this law that they were seeking out from Jesus who sort of came perhaps as a threat to them and as a threat to the law. And they want to know from Jesus, what is the most important thing? What is the summary statement? What is the thesis statement? And so the Pharisee comes to Jesus and he says to Jesus, "Tell me the most important thing. Tell me the most important thing about faith." Well, for the Pharisee knew that in his mind, all of it was important. It wasn't an ability to really separate and differentiate and come up with one thing. So the Pharisee's goal really was to trick Jesus and to find some sort of fault with Jesus, that Jesus isn't embodying the entire law. So the Pharisee is trying to trick Jesus, because the Pharisee knows that in the Old Testament there are 613 commands. There are 613 things that are of critical importance. And so how in the world is Jesus going to highlight and say that one of these particular commands, one of these things, is more important than any other? That would prove some sort of fault of Jesus. And so we find Jesus not afraid. We find Jesus very courageous. And without a second to even really think or give a second guess, Jesus responds to the question. The most important thing, says Jesus, the first and greatest commandment, says Jesus, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then Jesus doesn't stop and pause. Jesus keeps going, and the second is just as important. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus points back to the Old Testament. Jesus knows the Hebrew Bible. He was a student of the Hebrew Bible. He knew all 613 commands. And he points first to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 8, the Shema, and says, the first and greatest thing that's important might start out as what our Jewish friends and brothers and sisters say every single day. Hear, O Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. The Hebrew people were invited to make this a part of their daily life. They were to bind it on their foreheads. They were to post it on the mantle of their homes. It was the most important thing that they were supposed to put up as part of their lives. And so Jesus says, the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And he doesn't stop, because then he points to Leviticus. Leviticus 19:8, what we would call the holiness code, the way we're supposed to live out our lives. And Leviticus 19:8 says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So loving God with your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, it kind of reminds me of the hokey pokey. Remember, you put your right hand in and your right hand out? Well, right here, God, Jesus, is inviting us to love God with our whole selves. Our whole selves. It's not just enough to love God with our right hand or our left hand or our right foot or our left foot. We're invited to love God with all that we are, to put our whole selves in. We can shake it all about if we want, but we're invited to love God with our whole selves. And when we love God with our whole selves, then we're able to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Loving God and loving neighbor are two things that can't be separated one from the other. To love God as a Christian, is to love your neighbor. To love your neighbor as a Christian is to love God. They cannot be separated. They're joined together. Jesus made that clear when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? What is the summary statement? What is the thesis? Love the Lord your God with your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. To love God is to love your neighbor. And to love your neighbor is to love God. This morning, we celebrate Scouting. And here in this place, as we celebrate Scouting, I celebrate that at the heart of Scouting Ministries is this fact, this thesis statement of teaching young men and young women to love God and to love other people. From the Scout Oath, on my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country, to obey the Scout law, and to help other people at all times. God and neighbor. To love God is to love your neighbor. Girl Scouts. The Girl Scout promise, on my honor, I will try to serve God and my country and to help people at all times. Again, God and neighbor. God and other people. You see, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, for those of us who call ourselves Christians, this is exactly what we are invited and exactly what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love God and to love our neighbor. We're supposed to put our whole selves in love of God, and our whole selves in love of our neighbor. This, says Jesus, summarizes all of the law and the prophets. And remember, last week we talked about our freedom to serve and our freedom to love comes from the fact that we are no longer as those of us who've received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are no longer bound by the law, but we are freed to serve. We are freed to serve and to live out the law and the prophets by loving God and loving our neighbor. Over and over again, we wonder, who is our neighbor? Who is our neighbor? In the Gospel of Luke, we find a story about the Samaritan who helps the person who's fallen and been hurt. And Jesus says, who was the neighbor there? Was the neighbor the religious person? No. The religious person walked on about. The neighbor, remember, was the Samaritan, the outsider, the outcast, the excluded, the forgotten, the Samaritan, the one that were not really cared for by the Jewish brothers and sisters. But it was the Samaritan. It was the Samaritan who got down and helped the neighbor. So friends, who is our neighbor? Who is our neighbor? You've heard me say before that everyone who belongs to Jesus belongs to everyone who belongs to Jesus. So our neighbors are all of the people of this world. They're black, they're white, they're Hispanic, they're Asian, they're man, they're woman, they're young, they're old, they're gay, they're straight, they're bisexual, they're wealthy, they're poor, they're homeless and food insecure, they're full and abundant, they're hurting, they have it all together, they're Democrats, they're Republicans, they're people inside the church, they're people outside the church. All of the people of this world are our neighbors. We are called to love God and love our neighbor. To love God and love our neighbor. This morning, I scanned the highlights of the Gaston Gazette. I don't do that every morning, but this morning I did it with a purpose. I wondered if there were any examples in our local news media of people loving God and loving their neighbor. Hear this. There's an article from Dickie Spargo, the pastor at Bethlehem Church, calling the people of faith to more deeply engage with the poor in our community. Loving God, loving our neighbor. At Gaston Early College yesterday, there were 16 students who hopped into cosmetology chairs and had at least 8 inches cut off of their hair to be donated to Locks of Love. They call it Cuts for Kindness. Love God and love our neighbor. I wondered about those people who got in the chair to have their hair cut. They don't know where their hair's going to go. They don't know if they're going to think like that person or look like that person or act like that person or feel like their person, but they simply gave because they loved their neighbor. And then there were 100 teens and adults in attendance at Southminster Presbyterian Church for the 4th annual Night to Shine. Night to Shine is a magical prom for people who have special needs. It's sponsored by the Tim Tebow Foundation. And Southminster has hosted this for the last 4 years. The article says that each guest received VIP treatment of hair, makeup, and shoe shining stations. The guests sang in a karaoke room and enjoyed a buffet dinner and lots of dancing. Loving God and loving our neighbor. And then I thought about our beloved Myers Memorial United Methodist Church. What were we doing this weekend? Well, over a dozen of you were out yesterday, and I guess you started on Thursday evening constructing a wheelchair ramp, and you were out yesterday putting this ramp together in order that your neighbor, someone in need in this community, their life might be a bit easier. Over the weekend, there were 2 different teams of you that hosted bereavement meals for Paul Outlaw's family and for Philip Wade's family. You were serving God and loving your neighbor. Our 2019 ministry theme here is the word serve. And as we've heard over and over again for the last several weeks, that passage, that verse from Joshua, where Joshua says, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." It is my prayer that as for me and this household, that together we will serve the Lord. I consider that me and my household that I live in with four other people whose last names are Queen. I consider you part of my household. And if ever I have a decision to make, I will always, always err on the side of love. That's how my household will function. To err on the side of love. My prayer is that you too will err on the side of love. Because we've been called. We've been called. The most important thing to do is to love God and love our neighbor. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.